I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of
everybody, and welcome again to ET Yoga. And I think we've got a very interesting show for you this evening. And it's going to be jam-packed full of information as usual. We're going to be hopping around to some different topics. We're going to be talking about self-empowerment, of course. We'll be talking about the crop circles and who's making them, why they're there, what's going on. A lot of ET information. And before we get started, though, I would really like to give my thanks and appreciation to our listening audience. It's such a thrill to know that there's so many people out there that are connecting with ET Yoga and the information that's presented on the show. And I love doing ET Yoga, and I'm much appreciative of our listening audience. And speaking of our listening audience, I understand that we have now we're being picked up by a radio program in the UK, and that's Glastonbury Radio. And I'd like to say hi to all the folks that are tuning in for the first time from the UK. And want to let you know that I'm a big fan. Been to London several times, currently living in Europe, and just love the UK as well as the history. And we'll be talking a little bit about that this evening, and I'm hoping to give some new insights on some of the phenomena you've got over there, especially with the crop circles. I'm also a big fan of Camelot and that whole concept. Have been a big fan of the Creative Camelot Club for a long time. And if you haven't tuned into that one, that's a great one to check out. It's Merlin the Magician and Marilyn the Magician all talking about fourth density concepts. So that's the Creative Camelot Club on your internet. And I'm also a big fan of the King Arthur legend. I'm connected with Merlin and really enjoyed reading the book Priestess of Avalon, which also connects to that information. So, and for those new people in the UK, a lot of the information on ET Yoga comes from a yogic background. Specifically, my teachers were Sri Ramana Maharshi, Baba Ram Das, Paramahansa Yogananda, and Sri Swami Sachidananda. And the extraterrestrial connections, a lot of the information comes from the Pleiadians, Syrians, Arcturians, and Esasani. And for those not familiar with Esasani, that's primarily through Bashar. And if you don't know about Bashar, I would highly suggest you check out www.bashar.org. Now, Bashar fancies himself as an extraterrestrial from the Esasani civilization, who channels through a guy called Daryl Anka. And if you're a first time to hear about this, neither Daryl nor Bashar, when he comes through and in his channelings, tries to convince the audience that he, in fact, is an extraterrestrial, because it's not provable. However, the information is what's important. And that's always the stance we take on ET Yoga, is that, you know, no matter who's talking, you're the person that has to discern the truth and what rings true for you. And if you can use the information, and in the case of Bashar, thousands and thousands and thousands of people on this planet are using his information to better their lives and achieve better states of self-empowerment. And that's one of the reasons that ET Yoga came about, because of a perceived need in the population for increased self-empowerment and also to maximize the immune system. And of course, we'll talk about anything on ET Yoga, pretty much have over the course of time. So if you've got subjects that you'd like to hear on the program, you can email me at paperfungo, that's P-A-P-E-R-F-U-N-G-O, paperfungo@yahoo.ca. That's paperfungo@yahoo.ca. And I'd be most pleased to also hear about your successes from utilizing specific techniques that you may hear or information that you utilize at home to improve your own self-empowerment. So to get into the topics tonight, especially for those new to ET Yoga, the baseline on ET Yoga is that much of the channeled extraterrestrial information, and I've been studying that for a couple of decades, goes back to the basic premise that thought creates. And this is what's come out, and I know it's been spreading around the globe, and I'm probably fairly certain it's in the UK as well, is the program called The Secret, or what a lot of people like to call the Law of Attraction. And basically, it's what you put out is what you get back. And this basic premise, actually, I like to give some insight on that, because it's now become really the in thing in North America. I mean, my grandmother, who's really not spiritual, in the light of, you know, consciously working on herself to attain enlightenment, she's heard about The Secret, and her friends told her about it. And I mean, I know so many people that, you would think would just be in average, situations, know about The Secret. And, of course, a lot of people, I think, maybe try to just throw an economic spin on that information, and with varying results. But the fact that thought creates is the main point. And also interesting to note, when a lot of people don't know this, but Bashar taught this information 25 years ago. So I was clued into Bashar early on, and you go back to the old archives of Bashar, and he's the one that came out with this 25 years ago. Of course, it wasn't popular then. And Daryl used to start off by doing channelings for two or three of his friends in his house, and then pretty soon the more friends came over, and pretty soon more friends, and eventually he had to, you know, rent a space for the public to hear him. And he's been traveling around the world now for about 25 years, passing on some of this really what I call top level off planet information, and the vast majority of it is to help us with our self empowerment. And why would anybody want to do that? Well, we'll get into the story of how the Esasani connect with us a little bit later in the show, when we're really getting into the ET business. But the fact of the matter is that it's important for the people on this planet to raise their vibratory rate and raise their level of consciousness to more closely approximate that of the extraterrestrials. And that's before first contact publicly is going to be happening. And the critical issue here is that it's kind of like if you took a high-speed gear and a slow-speed gear and you meshed them together, it's not going to happen very smoothly. And the extraterrestrial vibration can be of such a nature that it forces the human mind to look at things that it's not quite prepared to see. And this can sometimes create shock in the system. So there's clearly a mass program, and I call it a mass program because the masses are starting to learn that thought creates. And this is the very, very, very important point with respect to all that's happening with our own personal self-evolution, as well as going into fourth density, the whole concept of ascension. This is the key point, because for the most part, for hundreds of thousands of years now, we haven't been living according to these principles. And it's critical in order to move to the next dimension, because you need to be able to take 100% responsibility for your outer reflection. Now, if you can't take 100% responsibility for your life, then that means that, you know, you have a belief that it's just happening at random. or somebody else is programming you, which is the case as well. So the bottom line is either you're programming you and taking 100% responsibility for your auto-reflection, or somebody else is. And it so turns out that when you're not taking this responsibility, and responsibility doesn't mean you're to blame for things, responsibility means you have the ability to respond. And because you take a responsibility for what you've created, you then claim the power to change anything that you prefer to change. And this is huge in this modern age, in this modern movement of consciousness. And unfortunately, the emotional states that create victim consciousness are basically this non-responsibility approach and blaming others, complaining, and justifying your circumstance. Those are the three key elements that let you know that you are in a state of victimhood. So anytime that you're blaming, complaining, justifying, this is a state of victimhood. And ironically, you're creating it, but you may not consciously know that you're creating it. And one of the, factors that's always been, to be overcome with this process of knowing that your thoughts, definitions, beliefs, and emotions actually create the outer experience. And one of the problems is the lag or the delay between when you have the belief or the definition and when you actually experience it. And as we approach the year 2012, this lag or time gap is going to be shortened. So it's going to become more and more obvious to more and more people that this is in fact so. And this is the fundamental concept that needs to be understood. And this whole area of taking responsibility is quite exciting, really, because what you can appreciate is that the outer world actually acts as a mirror. And not in any sort of a philosophical way, a perfect reflective mirror of your thoughts, beliefs, definitions. The only difference between the mirror that you see in the morning and your life experience is that the life experience is a holographic mirror. And this key concept certainly then has another very, very important self-empowering aspect. And that is another key concept that people for hundreds of thousands of years have never clued into. And that is that events don't come with built-in meaning. I mean, you can logically see that, you know, a certain plate of food could be one man's just treat and another man wouldn't touch it. The same exact dish can have lots of different takes. And the same with every circumstance in your life. Even though we kind of assume that certain events have a negative connotation, the fact is we have so many built-in preconceived judgments about certain situations that it gets us into problems. The fact is that events do not come with built-in meaning. We provide the meaning. And if you were clued into the show last week, we did an entire show on magic. And the bottom line was that meaning is the critical point of creation, of creating other realities or new reality experiences. Meaning's the key word. So, as Bashar would teach, when you have an outer circumstance, the idea is to put a positive spin on it. So, positive meaning in, positive experience out. Negative meaning in, negative experience out. And for those new to ET Yoga, I challenge people week after week after week on ET Yoga, give it a shot. Even if you can't see any possible way that a certain circumstance can turn out positive, just say, well, you know, I can't see any possible way that this could turn out positive, but, you know, I'm going to give this a shot. I just can't wait to see what positive thing could come from this and put some positive emotion into that concept and then give it some time and see how it turns out. I challenge you because, you know, the first time this works, it's going to stun you. And after it stuns you, the next thing you're going to start wondering about, wow, how could that have worked? And pretty soon you're going to start practicing that more and more and more. And you know what I call this whole process, and this is my own coin here, and that is, it's called stacking the deck of life in your favor. Because I remember, like, years ago, and I used to do I Ching and Tarot readings and whatever, And sometimes the coins or the cards or the hexagrams that come up would be have either positive or negative meanings to me. But you know what? They're all positive. It's just a question of the spin you put on them. So the bottom line is it's all good. It's all helping you to grow. Even sometimes the things that are the most pain in our lives are the things we learn the most from. And there's usually that jewel at the end of the road. But the interesting thing about this whole technique is that if two people viewed a certain event, one viewed it positive, one negative, the one that viewed it positive could probably understand how the other person could have viewed it as a negative thing. And if the person with a negative point of view threw a positive spin on a situation, that same situation, and it came out positive, you know what? By both of their standards, that new situation would be positive. And it's just incredible that this is one of the foundational principles. In fact, Bashar will go one step farther than that in taking this concept out, and that is that you need to appreciate that your primary responsibility as a human being on the planet, just being you, the real you that you are, following your excitement, following your joy, and throwing a positive spin on outer circumstance. And this is going to be really critical in the times ahead. Things like economic collapse, things like all kinds of potential scenarios that could be viewed as negative. The idea is putting a positive spin on them. And some of the ET information, as well as retrieved technologies, such as Looking Glass and the Cube, were actually items that had to do with seeing different probable future realities. And it's going to be a new concept for us on this planet to sort of get the picture that there are going to be different alternate realities for different people. And I'm going to give you a quote from Bashar. And he says, "I will put it to you this way. There are an infinite number of probable Earths, and every single possible scenario will play out. And more precisely, is playing out now, since all time is actually simultaneous. However, whatever each individual's vibratory frequency is, that is the determining factor for what probable future reality Earth they will experience." And thus, when we're having scenarios coming up, I know a lot of people are throwing a fear vibration on 2012. Well, if you want some positive people to tune into, I would suggest Divine Cosmos, and that's a David Wilcox site. David has a very positive outlook towards 2012, as my perspective. And I think that this is the most amazing time ever to be living on this planet, and that's why there's, you know, 6.8 billion of us down here, is there's so many souls want to experience what's going to happen. I mean, this is the most amazing jump in consciousness that's ever happened to the human species. That's what's happening to this planet. We're mutating as a species. Our DNA is mutating. The planet's mutating. I mean, this is the most incredible time to be alive right now. And there's no reason not to put a positive spin on it and not get caught up in the negativity, not get caught up in the fear vibe, but get caught up in this amazing joy and excitement that's happening on planet Earth. And so now that we've sort of talked about some of the, touched upon some self-empowerment concepts, I'm going to go into now a little bit of information that comes from what's called the Infinity Codes of 2007. And this was information that was channeled from Celia 10, and Celia channels Archangel Michael. And Archangel Michael promised to deliver more information on the changing nature of time and space as we enter the new cycle of consciousness that will lead us to the 2012 point of our reality creation. And at this point, the Earth will align with the galactic center in such a way that we will reset the Earth's cosmic clock to a new frequency and rhythm. And Archangel Michael called this no time, or the immediate and infinite present. We are already feeling the shifts and changes as we move from third dimensional consciousness to fifth dimensional or multidimensional consciousness, and we are being trained in the skills of living in the present by writers such as Eckhart Tolle with his book, The Power of Now, and in the skills of manifestation by The Secret. The collective consciousness is at training school for the big shift. And we're going to talk tonight about three specific crop circles and then in general about that whole concept. But the first one that I want to talk about is the Infinity Codes hologram. And the Infinity Codes are holographic information packets in the form of light and sound. And they're being introduced into your Earth hologram in this period of 2007. And to see a picture of the Infinity hologram, you need to use your computers and go to the Infinity Codes of 2007. And a lot of this information is from a Janosch Sacred Geometry, and that's J-A-N-O-S-H, Sacred Geometry. And this hologram carries information that will enable the collective consciousness to make a huge shift in its perception and creation of reality. For in truth, perception and creation are the same process. And Celia asked, well, could you explain that to us? How can perception, an act of perceiving, which is receptive, be the same as the active process of creation? And Michael says, well, you need to first consider the nature of human reality. Firstly, you consider that you use your eyes and ears to perceive an objective reality that is out there. Now, I'm going to say actually all reality lies within you in the realm of consciousness. It is this inner consciousness that creates the outer reality. So whatever is experienced in the outer world is a projection or creation of your inner reality or consciousness. It is not what you think, but what you are. Your essence, your being, which is projected into creation at a given moment. I'm sure you're familiar with this idea that you create from your inner being or beliefs. And Celia told him that, yes, we have all been working with the ideas of creation and manifestation and understanding of how our beliefs shape our reality field. And Michael goes, indeed, now we can go to the next step and say that belief or inner consciousness actually determines reality through the physical act of perception creation. Now, you note that we link the two here. Now, as you have noted, perception is the process whereby you come to understand your reality through experiencing it, and creation is the actual act of bringing that reality into manifest form so that it can be perceived and experienced. And now we'll show you how these activities are one. We're going to say that you are actually creating the reality that you see and perceive as you see and perceive it. You literally project that reality from within and experience it as external reality simultaneously with your creation of events. You become so used to this process that you're not even aware of the energy and effort that goes into reality creation and perception. You see, the human body is a holographic projection instrument, and the human skull is the primary holographic reality projector. This is why crystal skulls have become so important again in recent years. You're beginning to understand again the perfection of the design of the human skull and how spirit can project consciousness through this perfectly designated and designed instrument in order to create reality. So, can you see how the act of seeing, hearing, tasting, smelling, and touching can be a simultaneous point of reality creation? You experience and see as you create, and what you believe and feel determines what you create instantaneously. You are used to the linear time and space constructs of the third dimension, where there's an apparent time lag between perceived manifestation and the experience of that manifestation as a concrete reality. In the infinite present of now, you perceive, create in the moment, and what you perceive is what you create. You are physically determining your creations as you perceive them. And he does admit this is a big leap in understanding for many of us because obviously the population has not recognized this as a concept. But going back to the Bashar information about putting positive meaning into what you're experiencing clearly makes that connection. And the Infinity hologram actually, now this is connected with the Arcturians. And just as I might point out here, just as a general concept, that what you call the crop circles, there are, you know, a lot of people talking about who's making them. Well, they come from three sources. And the first source is an inner consciousness from the inside of the planet Earth. And more specifically, there are civilizations on the inner Earth, but on inner Earth planes in the fourth and fifth dimensions in particular. And another source of the making of the crop circles comes from the Ascended Masters. And the third source of the creation of the crop circles, that at least the valid ones, come from the extraterrestrials and primarily the Arcturians. And thus the connection here to the Arcturian and the Infinity Hologram, because it is clearly a series of spirals. And why are spirals so important? Well, Archangel Michael says, well, what we like to call the natural movement of consciousness in the cosmos is a spiral. Think of the spiraling arms of the great galaxies, all the way down to the spirals of the DNA within your cells. Everything is constructed on geometric grids or fields based on circles and spirals. And that is the natural rhythm or flow of consciousness. Now, each being has its own personal rhythm or flow. And part of the deep physiological and biochemical changes in the body at this time are aimed at disconnecting your physical reality from a controlled linear perception to a more natural cycle that is tuned to the cosmic pulse and spirals in harmony with the cosmic pulse, that which we call the breath of God. All living intelligences pulse, and when one is aligned with the pulsations of the divine creative intelligence through the pulsations of the galactic heart or the great central sun, your own natural rhythm or spiral synchronize with these larger spirals. This involves a shift in the time clock in your cells and in your brain that has been wired to linear time and a progression of consciousness which is short and entirely out of sync with the cosmic pulse. Now you're being rewired to live in harmony with the cosmic pulse and to live longer lives that spiral naturally and gracefully with the flow of divine creative intelligence. So your ascension symptoms are evidence of your body feeling the physical effects of being rewired to a different rhythm of life that is attuned to the cosmic pulse but also very individual to you. And the crystal children and now the blue star children are attuned to this pulse already. That's why so many of them are diagnosed as ADD. They move to their own rhythms and cannot be controlled into the rigid frame of school programs. Many adults are also releasing the rigid structures of work for more flexible ways of supporting themselves. For each person has an individual rhythm that may not lend itself to the 9-to-5 life. Finding your own rhythm is as important as finding your passion and creativity. These things all work together to ensure that you function at your optimum soul potential as a creator. And he also points out that is the presence of the blue star children who have entered the planet in the last couple of years that is accelerating this process. And he calls it activating your galactic light body. As you reconnect with the galactic pulse or heartbeat, and as you make this connection, you naturally move into unconditional love, compassion, and gratitude. For these are the energies of the cosmic pulse and the signature of the crystid or crystal energy. And he also points out that the whales and the dolphins are already tuned to this pulse. And I'm going to make a point here that for those interested in really getting into the detail of forces that are making the crop circles, I suggest that you check out Drunvalo Melchizedek. And Drunvalo, basically, he has a CD out, and it's called The True History of England. And in there, he goes into some really specifics with respect to all these different forces that go about in connecting to make the crop circles. And Bashar has also made some comments about that. And he has said that your collective consciousness and its expression of symbols in the dream state, now that we are beginning to wake up as a humanity, are a lot about what the symbols are about. And it's been a long dream waking up from and changing from one reality shift to another, which is, you know, what's coming up. And he indicates that it actually is a language of the universal unconscious waking up. And why, you ask, has this been taking place in England? Well, because it's it was the first point of linking the old age to the new, and that goes back to that Merlin, King Arthur legend, and the fact that Merlin was connected with the Druids. And he was also, this connection is a is an ancient offshoot from the ancient Atlantean knowledge, which was a seat of psychic exploration, and also it was a bridge into another age of modern spirituality. So, again, the Novella Melchizedek, True History of England, you can get the full story there. And I think the other key thing about the crop circles is clearly that they're, at least, the, like I said, the valid ones, they're very much involved with activating dormant DNA. And this is just huge. In fact, as Archangel Michael indicated about the dolphins already being clued into these frequencies, and especially the frequencies of unconditional love, compassion, and gratitude, these have been shown to be powerful, powerful emotions. And on another program, we'll go more into how these three particular emotions are so important in creating total immunity from disease. Because when you're totally anchored in those three energies, disease is not possible at those frequencies. And it's also been proven scientifically. They've hooked up monitors to people with AIDS, and they found that their immune systems have increased 300,000% when they've been trained to emit those emotions. So this is a huge, huge, huge positive from the positive energies. And and another show will go into more detail on the fact that all emotion that's dysfunctional is really the source of disease. Now, with the dolphin crop circle, the one that was in Alton Barnes, Wiltshire, and that happened on August 14th in 2002, the psychic children actually passed on this information that there is a code in this crop circle, and I might add there's a code in all the crop circles. And the code is one that only your superconscious mind will comprehend. And it may reveal your own role, how you can take and contribute to the world of peace and compassion. And they state that it's so important that people all over the world see this crop circle, for it will activate you in ways your mind cannot understand. And that's the Dolphin Crop Circle, Alton Barnes, Wiltshire. And I think that there is another crop circle that I really want to mention, and that's June 8th near the banks of the Neolithic Hill in Neolithic Hill Fort, Barbary Castle in Wiltshire. And this one in particular is very, very similar to what's called the Jagged Spiral. And if you want to look up the Jagged Spiral and the whole concept of transforming core beliefs, that information I noticed just came up on YouTube. And if you go to Bashar, B-A-S-H-A-R, and then you go to transforming core beliefs, it will then take you to the program that's based on the crop circle that came up there, but I call it the Jagged Spiral. Now, actually, Bashar calls it the Jagged Spiral. And in point of fact, he had to have special permission in order to bring this particular concept to the planet at this time. And not very many people know about this. In fact, as far as I know, Daryl and I are the only ones that are out there kind of telling people. I've done the program. It's a 90-day program. If you order the tapes from the Bashar website called Transforming Core Beliefs, and basically you do a meditation involved with this crop circle, and there's specific techniques that you do during the process, which I'm not going into detail now. And you also connect that with your dream state, so you do keep a log of your what you remember from your dreams when you awake in the morning. And over a 90-day period, when you do all these processes, what happens is just amazing. I mean, it just totally opens up your total core. And it is just a phenomenal process that very, very few people know about. And another tip I would like to pass on is from the Pleiadians, and it comes from Bringers of the Dawn. And for those that haven't read Bringers of the Dawn, I think that's the classic, you know, extraterrestrial channeled book. I mean, to me, it's like in yogic terms, it's Autobiography of a Yogi by Paramahansa Yogananda. It is the classic yogic text, but Bringers of the Dawn is the classic ET text. And in there, they talk about the Pleiadian spinning and pillar of light techniques. And they're, again, phenomenal. Based on this whole idea of spirals and circles and the spinning, actually activating your chakras, activating your higher chakras, helping to rebundle your DNA, helping to rebundle you know, your 12 strand process of DNA, not just the two that many people are operating with. And also it enables you to access more data. And this is information from the Pleiadians. Now, if you're looking towards, you know, doing those techniques, I can give you a spot where you can find them real easy, and that's on my website. And my website's maxwellgreensite.com, and that's Maxwell as in Maxwell House Coffee, green as in the color, .com. And at maxwellgreensite.com, there is one of the archives from ET Yoga that's available there, and it's called the XYZ Extraterrestrial Meditation. And if you go to that, on that particular tape, there's instructions there for Merkaba vehicle. There's also instructions for the XYZ Extraterrestrial Meditation, of course, and also the Pleiadian spinning and pillar of light techniques. So if you're interested in doing those techniques, think of the tapes 1995, and that's the one to get. So if you have an interest in that, that's where you can find it. Now, also interesting to note from the Pleiadians, they state that the crop circles have been most prevalent in England and throughout Europe. However, they're also in the area previously known as the Soviet Union and in South America. They're even in the United States, although some people are doing a good job of pretending they're not there. And these geometric shapes are like hieroglyphs. The hieroglyphs and pictoglyphs carved in stone on this planet are a similar generation of intelligence. In other words, if one were to read the hieroglyphs based on the Rosetta Stone, the hieroglyphs would communicate one thing. If one were able to remember the secret language of the priests, the hieroglyphs would tell another story. And if one were able to understand the language of the creator gods, they would say something entirely different. And I don't mind telling you that if you go to the Genosh Sacred Geometry site, and you're going to find a bunch of colored crop circles there. And these are actually became animated. And there was a time when you could go on the Internet, and I used to do these on my lunch hour and meditate on these animated crop circles because they all have, you know, codes and activate latent DNA. And then after a while, that disappeared, but a product came out, and it's an amazing product because it's called HemiSync, H-E-M-I, and it's S-Y-N-C, and it became the, it's called Sacred Geometry, HemiSync, Sacred Geometry. And it became the product of the year in 2007, and it's just a phenomenal tool. So what you have is these crop circles that appeared for the most part in the UK, and they were then made into beautiful colored pictures. And by the way, in my living room I have about 25 of these amazingly beautiful crop circles, you know, on the wall. And then they've taken these beautiful pictures and animated them. And this is another phenomenal way to really get involved with the frequency and the vibration of the crop circle, because they're not meant to be really understood by logic. This is an emotional thing. So, again, here's another thing that you can use your crop circles for, and that is based on Masaru Emoto's The Power of Water. Basically, he takes 18-liter jugs of water or whatever size jugs you want to use, and you can put pictures of the crop circles around the water because the water will absorb the frequency. And I mean, this has been proven that water is a perfect reflector of consciousness. It actually changes the molecular structure of water. And if you don't believe that, you can go on your computers to messages in water, Masaru Emoto, E-M-O-T-T-O, and you can see on your computer how the molecular structure of water changes when different emotional frequencies, positive and negative, are placed in water. And this is another really positive thing that you can do with the crop circles. And, of course, if you live in the U.K., you want to go out there and experience some of the crop circles because, you know, for these people that are trying to tell you that, you know, there's a couple guys running around creating these, well, are they creating bended crops that bend but don't break? Are they creating fields that emit radioactivity? Are they changing the genetic structure of the plants? Are they able to, you know, pop these up in a, you know, a 20-minute period where some of them have been shown to have happened? No, I don't think so. Not if you give this any serious, you know, investigation. I think you'll realize that there's a real amazing phenomenon going on here, and it's meant to create that sort of interest and amazing sort of wonder and awe about them. And the crop circles are actually... there's a number of reasons for the existence of them. Basically, they exist to force reality to move, to get you feeling rather than thinking. And most who explore these circles think their way through the circles rather than feel their way through them. And Great Britain's having a rash of them because, in general, the British have a very logically oriented consciousness. However, the land of the British Isles is imprinted with megalithic spirals and stone forms that have intensely imprinted the intuitive faculties of the inhabitants. And this phenomenon has no logic to it. It is forcing a logically oriented society to recognize something that makes no sense. And it's being done in a very playful and obvious way without creating a threat to anyone's view of reality. You know, if ships were to land everywhere, people would get upset. But when corn lies down in concentric circles and doesn't even break or die, no one really gets too upset. Do you understand how energies play with you? And it's necessary to do certain things so you can get it and figure it out without having your circuits overloaded. And the language is being introduced onto the planet as a story, a glyph of information that holds a frequency to insist you in holding your own frequency. And as you awaken, it is easy for others to read you and recognize you. You are monitored all the time because there are devices that monitor the evolution and location of consciousness. And once consciousness has reached a certain place, assistance is brought from the outside to establish other realms of that frequency. In other words, you say you open a restaurant and it's a big hit, and you run and maintain it and sell really good food. Then somebody comes along and says, how about franchising? Well, let's get you everywhere. And these geometric shapes help you franchise the frequency by spreading it all over the planet and holding it. And they bring us to a new level of attainment. So I'd like to, just say that... there's just so much to the crop circle phenomenon that we'll continue to learn more and more about. But I think it's also safe to say that you can be utilizing these right now at very low cost to help your own self-healing with respect to changing the molecular structure of the water. And I'm not going to go into detail about that, but that's a huge one because if you think about it, you know, we're mostly water, and the best way to affect your total consciousness is through water. And also, I think that the whole concept of doing meditations on the visual crop circles, and once you see, if you haven't seen the sacred geometry from Genosha, they're just amazing, and they're just beautiful structures. So, with reference to all of this, I mean, to me, it's sort of, you know, it all sort of ties together. The whole idea of the infinity codes, the whole idea of the crop circles, the whole idea of our whole evolutionary pace at this time. And I'm going to share with the listening audience this evening another tip that comes from Archangel Zadkiel. And this really is connected with the whole idea of getting media free. And it's called the gift of supreme clarity. And this is how it goes. Pay attention if you must to media, and if you feel so called, pay no attention. It is important for you to make your decision now. You will either decide to continue to be engaged or you will not be engaged. Do not be on the fence on this one. It will bring great chaotic energy into your life. If you wish to truly unplug from chaotic energy, do it now. Either go deep into it or unplug from it. We're offering you the gift of supreme clarity. You may experiment and say, I will for 1 week not be involved in media. We offer you the opportunity to unplug from the newspaper, TV, radio, and all that gives you information that is asking you to judge another. Does not this information ask you to judge? This one killed this one, make a judgment. This war, make a judgment. These people, make a judgment. This experience, make a judgment. There's not even one piece of information that comes to you from the media that does not ask you to make a judgment, even if it is subliminal. What would your week be like without judgment and without judgment from other stimulus coming into you? What would your week be like if the only judgment you had to deal with was that you bring up within yourself? What if you spent a week looking at just the judgments that are still there? Give yourself this opportunity, and as you do make your decision, know that all decisions are perfect. There's no better way. There's no right way. There's no wrong way. There is only way. So you decide which way. Perhaps after your experiment, you'll say, too much for me. I must be involved. Then we ask that you be very involved. Read it all, listen to it all, and bring your heart to it all as you do. However you express through your heart is indeed imperfection. If after a week you say, I choose to continue in this new position, then choose to continue that way. There will always be those that will bring you the news. We can assure you, you will not ever not hear it. There are many who wish to talk about it. There are many who spend their lives obsessed with the news of others. There are many who spend their lives obsessed with judgment. You must understand that the gift of this is that they offer an opportunity for the density to be very, very real. Do they not? They hold very firm anchors in density. What a blessing. Bless them for their judgment and bless them for their commitment, for the choice they have made to stay in density. For as they anchor density firmly, they offer for you a greater opportunity to activate your lift, to no longer walk on the planet, to simply be here as one who is a custodian, a guardian, one who loves, and one who sees the truth. And in connection to that, I might state that there's a lot of information not being made very public at this point, but with respect to the fact that television lowers the frequency of the immune system. And it's a whole different topic if we start to get into the whole concept of the subliminals that are being used, because I've been given information that indicates that a lot of this technology is actually off-planet, and it's an amazing, amazing brainwash that's going on through subliminals on television. And I'd now like to touch upon an area that's, I guess, quite fascinating to a lot of our listeners, because I get lots of emails about the extraterrestrial happenings that are coming up, and especially around the concept of first contact. Well, the ET Yoga take on this is that the first contact scenario, the first public one at least, and I liken this to the days of Columbus, where Columbus got credit for discovering the New World, but actually we now know that a lot of other people were here first, but he was kind of given credit for that. And at some point in time, there's going to be a first contact scenario, although there's already been a lot of contact going on. And some of that actually, by the way, with the elite on this planet, that have their own craft. And a lot of the ones we see up in the sky aren't necessarily extraterrestrial. And anyway, the point of view from ET Yoga is that the first contact scenario is imminent, and it's coming up. Now, about, you know, specific dates and times, well, as a couple of guidelines First off, Earth is under quarantine until 2012, and that means that there won't be any open public contact, at least from the extraterrestrial point of view, until that time. Now, you might have a false flag scenario before then, but it won't be a legitimate one. And Bashar has stated that somewhere around the years 2015 to 2017, there will be no doubt in anybody's mind on the planet that we are, in fact, being visited by extraterrestrials. So, you know, all this debate about, you know, do they exist and all that kind of stuff, that's going to be coming to a halt. And, you know, all the argument and yelling in the meantime to prove or disprove one side or the other, well, it's all going to happen, so you don't have to worry about it. And the next phase, I guess, that Bashar's talked about is that the phenomenon known as the Phoenix Lights. And for those that don't know about that, you can go to YouTube and you can actually see some film of the Phoenix Lights. This phenomenon is, according to Bashar, from the first civilization that Earth will, in fact, make open public contact with. And there was a craft about a mile in length, that wedge-shaped, that hovered over the city of Phoenix for a few hours. And Bashar says that in 2010 that, again, Arizona will be visited by this group. And the name of the group, you might want to know, the Shalanaya. So Bashar says the Shalanaya will be the first group that we will have open public contact with. And they will also be connected with a fascinating storyline, because Bashar is Esasani, and Esasani comes from quite a ways in our future. Now, Bashar is like a fifth or sixth density being, and if you've ever been around Bashar in a room or seen him on YouTube, and I don't care what you are, if you're a rocket scientist, nuclear physicist, quantum physicist, biologist, I don't care what subject you want to talk about, he can take your information and bounce it out about 10 times. And if you're at least open enough to listen to what he says, you'll find that you can learn a lot about any particular subject. And Bashar is basically saying that, again, then in about 2012, all around the planet at different sacred sites will also be the sightings of the Shalanaya. And we're involved in a process here of being, we're sort of like trial members in the Association of Worlds, but in his time clock, he says that Earth by about 2037 will be a full member of the Association of Worlds. And that, you know, clearly the preparatory stages are happening now. So what exactly is there going to be a date? Well, it won't happen before 2012, before there's an open contact. But this connection now with the Esasani to us, is, I think, is quite fascinating, because many of you have probably heard about abductions and a group called the Greys that were involved with abductions. And in point of fact, one of the reasons for that scenario was that the Greys, actually, they're not really extraterrestrial. They're extraterrestrial in the sense that, yes, they're in space, yes, they do have bases, yes, they travel in 3D dimension, but they're primarily an alternate parallel reality. And their civilization reached a point where they could not reproduce, and also they lost their emotional function. And who were these Greys? Well, they're actually a future Earth. And if you really think about it, I mean, I personally am quite concerned about some of the technology now that's leaping far ahead of our heart, how we're trying to be desensitized to killing. Our kids are playing all these games on computers, desensitizing them to killing. And, of course, emotion is the key to reality creation. And you can only appreciate a society that evolves to a point where they lose their emotion. And thus, they've been involved with this abduction scenario in concert with some agreements with some of the elite on this planet in exchange for technologies, and have been involved with developing a hybrid species. Now, apparently, there were several hybrid species that were created, and one of them turned out to be highly successful, and that's the one that eventually ended up in the species of Esasani. So in point of fact, they are actually a future version of this new hybrid species, which is a hybrid species between humans and Greys. And if you do some logic, you'll realize that in order for them to even be compatible with our DNA, there had to be some link. So this is kind of an amazing story that's happening, and how the Shalanaya will help to be involved in that whole process, I think, is going to be one that will be one we'll view with awe and wonder. And at this time, I'd like to again thank our listening audience, especially our new listeners from the UK. And it's usually about this time that I like to wish everyone my sincere wishes for your attainment of full consciousness, perfect health, and abundance. And next week on ET Yoga, we're going to do live. We've done it before, but I'm going to do it one more time because it doesn't take a lot of time in the show. But for especially for our UK new listeners, we're going to do an extraterrestrial XYZ meditation, and it is a doozy. And I hope you'll tune in next week and tell your friends about it. Good night.
I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of all things.